Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer Podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, with my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's segment, we have two special guests joining us to talk about the NWSL and future expansion. A special announcement, though, before we get into our show. Next Friday, July 1st, Attacking Third, both Lisa and I will be outside of the Bank of California Stadium from 4 to 7 p.m. local time for a CONCACAF W event ahead of the Angel City versus Portland Thorns NWSL match. We'll be hosting a live show with special guests, giving away Attacking Third gear, and hosting trivia. So come hang out with us on Friday, July 1st from 4 to 7 at Bank of California Stadium. Welcome to our special guest. Two former U.S. internationals, two Santa Clara Broncos, and two game changers in the NWSL. We've got Allie Wagner and Brandi Chastain. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having us. I'm bummed that I can't be with you guys at Angel City next week. So
I know.
A good event.
We're sad you won't be there, Allie, but I had to throw in that we got two Santa Clara Broncos on here. I know how proud you are of your alma mater, and you're both here. And for those that aren't watching and just listening as a podcast, Brandi is fully in her element right now. She's at a soccer field surrounded by soccer teams and players, and everything's happening. So enjoy the sounds of a soccer field, because I am loving this.
Look, that's the energy that we're going to stay with right here. Brandy's bringing it, so we're going to keep it going. Look, news dropped very recently that the two of you, along with Daniel Slayton and Leslie Osborne, all former U.S. Women's National Team players, have ambitions to start an NWSL expansion club in the Bay Area. So Brandi, I'm going to go to you first. Why NWSL in the Bay Area?
Because soccer belongs in the Bay Area. It's traditionally been here. We're the first ever champions of the WUSA, the first ever professional champions of women's soccer. And we historically develop and grow the game where we are. We have national team players. We've got international players. We have collegiate champions. Good things happen here. We're the natural bridge between the southern teams in San Diego and Los Angeles and the northern teams in Portland and Seattle. Soccer has historically been in the Bay, and we believe that our area, as the world knows it, is about incubation of great ideas and innovation, and game-changing things happen here. So along with Allie, Danielle, and Leslie, I'm very proud of, you know, what we've contributed to the game, but we have a lot to do, and we want everybody to enjoy where we're from, and we're going to be the best. We want to be the best brand in women's soccer.
Brandi, as you mentioned, it's you alongside Allie and with Leslie and Danielle. Allie, why you four? I mean, you played collegially together, national team together, but why now and why this group of women?
Because we absolutely hate each other, and we thought, why not come together in a business venture? No, I mean, like, this is, you talk about people that actually complement each other, and I think, you know, have the balance in terms of our strengths and weaknesses. This is like an amazing group of women to work with. I think everyone is incredibly down to earth, humble, but also strong and opinionated, and And the love, as you guys talked about, as B talked about, for the Bay Area, for women's football, that's the tie that binds. And look, we've got tradition together. I grew up playing club soccer with Danielle Slayton, and then was smart enough to be harangued by Brandy and Jerry to go play at Santa Clara. So I brought D with me. And then we were able to recruit Leslie, and she was a few years younger than us. So look, this relationship, I think, between all four of us goes back a really long way. And the reality is it's been spearheaded by a lot by Brandy as being that role model initially, but then also being a person that made us really excited and passionate about football in the Bay Area, that we wanted to stay. I wanted to stay local. Danielle wanted to stay local. And as she touched on, I mean, there's just so much tradition and passion. And this is like the melting pot of the world here. So what better place to have us four, I think, kind of, you know, get our brain power together, have that institutional knowledge, and then bring in a lot of business leaders with us to get the business and the footballing side right, so we can actually inspire that next generation.
Allie, let's stay with that a little bit, because since you've all stopped playing into retirement, this group is very special. You've all in some capacity have been involved in sports media, broadcasting, coaching, management. Brandy's coming to us from the soccer pitch right now. Was this the next logical step for this quadruplet? Why get involved in the investing now?
Yeah, I think with the NWSL in particular, you know, I think we all recognize NWSL is one big piece of this, but the global game is at a massive inflection point in women's football. And we think that, yes, there is a massive upside to this, but you look at the external events, if you will, that are now adding to this massive ascension, the investment from sponsorship side, typically it's only been 1% going into women's sports versus men's. That's changing. Right. You look at the media coverage. It's only been 4%, yet 46% are girls that play sport. That's changing. And why would you take one of the most, as Brandy also alluded to, the most innovative areas in the world and one of the most soccer rich tradition places in the world and not have a women's football footprint? You know, it made perfect sense. The time was right. And we're excited, like incredibly excited about what we think the NWSL already is and where it's going. And we just believe really, you know, strongly that what we can bring to the NWSL from the Bay Area will be a massive asset to the global game, but most importantly, the NWSL.
Allie, you just mentioned it, that it's so much about the now, how the league is, what the future of it is, investments are coming in, but it's also important to reflect about what has been with professional soccer in the United States. And between the four of you, the founding members of this potential expansion group, you have experience across all three U.S. professional leagues, the WUSA, the WPS, and the NWSL, playing abroad, playing with the national team, and with 12 teams already in the NWSL. Brandy, what is it about the NWSL that makes it be able to succeed when we've already seen two other leagues essentially fail in this country?
I think there's a lot to be said about the people. I think there's also something to be said about the timing. There's also something to be said about the recognition. This is the 50th anniversary today of Title IX. And that women's place in sport has never been more prominent than now. And so I think that's significant. I've been saying my whole life I've been saying this, but people are finally ready to listen, that women and women in sports, to me, is the deepest, richest, untapped well of potential greatness that we have. It's a resource that is only we've scratched just the surface, to be honest with you, because we don't exist in these big markets, and we have no professional women's sports in Northern California.
Yeah.
Like, it blows my mind to think that 85% of women are the ones who make the decisions about money in households. You know, they're women are getting college degrees at a higher rate than men. Like, I mean, the things that women are doing now makes it this absolutely the essential thing that we do, because when we build this, we will be giving an example if she sees that she can be a kind of example. And that is not just for the great football we will put on the field, but it will also be to leadership. It will be in management. It will be in coaching. It will be in all the facets around the business that we're doing. And we want this to propagate. We don't want it to stop here in the Bay Area. I see expansion of NWSL going far beyond us, and that women everywhere have this place. But I believe it belongs 100% in the Bay.
Yeah, and I would just jump in real quickly, Lisa, and just add, you know, you think about the previous iterations of the league. It was almost like, let's pull at your heartstrings. Let's do the feel-good thing, make it my moral obligation, you know, and instead of looking at it like a business. And that was a very wrong approach. And I think that was one of the great reasons of the demise of those two leagues. Now you see the right investors getting involved. You see people seeing this as a business. And that's massive to, I think, to not only to the league, but to the players that are now hopefully going to not have to work two jobs in order to, you know, live out their dreams of a professional women's soccer player. And then you couple that with the idea that we talk about Title IX and the fact that now globally it is more accepted that women can play the game of football. And so you look at the talent level and the entertainment factor, and no disrespect to the football we played, B, but it's where the game is now is very far from where it was when we played. And that largely I would contribute to the fact that the players are better. They were raised on the game. And as a result, they're just a more entertaining product. So these circumstances are definitely a confluence of events that are allowing, I think, the trajectory to be what we're seeing.
So is that what
I'm just going to say that we would be playing in this league.
Yeah. Well, if you didn't need a knee replacement, my bet is that you would try.
Damn right I would.
As you should. We'd love to see you both out there. But Allie, is that how this continues to grow? Is that how the league and NWSL continues to grow, whether it's female investors or females more getting involved or just the growth of the sport overall?
I don't think that it is specific to, quite honestly, female investors. Mm-hmm. You know, I do think female support is massive because, as Bran said, they are the ones who make the financial decisions in the household. Although I would argue it's 99% of all households, not 75%. You know, I think the reality is we need smart people involved that understand the product on their hands and that understand what the game is about from a global perspective. And so, yeah, absolutely. I welcome with open arms more women investors, but I also think the right people is what matters at the end of the day. And that's a balance within your ownership group, within your founding group, within your investor group, and ultimately the people that are in the front office. So absolutely more women investors, but we're not excluding. We want smart people.
I love hearing you talk about that, Allie, in terms of the timing of this being the right time to invest, the evolvement and the transformation of sort of going from prior leagues and viewing NWSL as a really good business opportunity on top of being a really competitive sports league to watch for sports entertainment. And there is a lot of interest out there. I mean, we've heard a lot about this year, the 2024 sort of timeline, the potential for there to be some new teams coming into the league. And obviously, your group has shown interest, but there's also been some rumors of other expansion markets as well that have expressed some interest. So, Brandy, I'd like to ask, in terms of this collective, this group, this Bay Area group, how long would you say that this has sort of been an ambition or has been in the works? What has been the timeline of sort of you all coming together and putting this bid together?
When did the group chat start?
Yes, that's what we want to know.
45 years ago. Allie wasn't born yet, but no, honestly, the seed was planted the first time we put cleats on. And this conversation has been going for a long time. I would say upwards into, you know, like 2 years for this endeavor. But I think, you know, if you ask Allie, Danielle, Leslie, this conversation has been happening, perpetuating itself upon the previous iterations of women's professional soccer. And we're, you know, not to sound corny, but we're true believers in what we have and what the potential is. As Allie said, you know, there is some heartstrings to it for me. Obviously, I'm very passionate about it. I believe in it. I believe in young women who have great talent, and I want to showcase that talent on the field every day in an entertaining and an engaging way so that our fans feel that they are a part of something great. Like, that to me is truly important. As a young person, I was influenced in that way. So the conversation has been happening for, you know, what feels like a couple years, but really it's been happening for decades.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Just to be clear, I didn't mean heartstrings. Like, we're going to pull on heartstrings.
Yeah.
That's not why people are interested in this and investing.
Of course,
you know, the reality is, like you said, we want to be the most entertaining football brand in the world. And with that is a lot of local support to have the environment within the stadium, but also to put out there a product that is moving the game forward. And really, we talk about, Brandon and I talk all the time about the art of the game and the beauty of the game. And that is going to be a massive pillar to how we would build out our club, how we'd build out our squad. Absolutely. Like, the entertainment piece is at the top priority.
It's very high. You can't even see my hand. It's so high.
There is a hunger for more women's football in the United States. And you can see that. I mean, it's incredibly evident in the NWSL. We're in the 10th year of the league, and there were two more expansion teams added this year. And Allie, when you look at San Diego Wave joining the NWSL, Angel City joining it, and Angel City in Los Angeles having so many investors, primarily female investor group, what did you learn from seeing these two expansion clubs come in, knowing that you had this idea already brewing? What did you learn from them coming in?
You know, to be fair, we have to give Angel City a ton of credit, because the way that they launched their club, their idea, you know, their vision, that absolutely sparked us. And that was the spark we needed for our tinder to get moving. And so I would say there's been a ton of learnings, and not just from those two clubs, but being the lead announcer for the NWSL since 2015 or so, I've seen a ton of things that within the management, within the clubs, managers, you know, that works and doesn't. I would say when you look at those two expansion clubs specifically, one thing that has been ridiculously impressive, which I know you guys both know, is how well they've done in the early part of the season. And we're hitting the point now where things are probably going to shake out in the NWSL, where I think the table placement will reflect the quality of the squads. But I don't think there's any mistake that San Diego is sitting where they are. One of the things that I took away from that expansion draft, from how they're building out their squad, was that they knew what style they were going to play. They obviously, Casey Stoney had a very big part in picking those players, and they understood the league. They understood that this is a transition-based league. They knew how to get points early. They got some of their lessons through the Challenge Cup, but the depth of that squad, the talent of the squad, the players that they understood could excel in NWSL was a massive lens, I would say, for us and seeing how they were able to be successful at this point. Angel City, on the flip side, like, you look at their community involvement, the way they've rallied everyone around their brand, that they're packing a stadium in LA. That is not easy to do. The way that they've tried to harness, I would just say, like, all the tools that we have at our disposal with social media, with access to media, with star power, with what people are attracted to. Natural affinity we have as humans towards sport, towards entertainment, but towards what is trending. They have nailed that. And so when I look at it from a business perspective, you know, they're right where we want to be. And of course, we would want to excel or exceed where they're at. But business perspective, I'm looking at what Angel City started with. You know, San Diego, more so how they built out their club and their roster to be a competitive and viable force for their first season, which is unprecedented.
Love that energy. I like to.
And they got a Bronco on their team. So they.
Yes.
That's the key.
That's the key.
If that's the key, y'all are ahead of the curve because you've got a Bronco.
Thank you, Sandra, for saying that.
I'm just saying, y'all are ahead of the curve here. You already have like laid the groundwork. That's it. You got the keys already. When we get towards the end of the episode, we like to have a little fun with our guests. And we were so thrilled that the two of you agreed to come hop on and join us. And look, Brandy, you already touched on it a little bit, so I'm just going to ask, with the NWSL expanding this year, with us sort of seeing this return to competitive fixtures on the field, because there was a little stopgap there as the whole globe took a pause in 2020, it sort of feels like now the level of competition is not only returning to what it used to be, but kind of excelling, you know, past what players were used to. My goodness, we're witnessing a career year from Alex Morgan here and just these opening months of the season. So when you're looking at the landscape of NWSL and you're putting on your player hat, is there a club that you're looking at and saying, I would love to be part of this club if I was able to play and sort of get into that system and wreck some things up? And what club is it and why?
It's the Bay Area.
Oh my. I love you. Stay the course, bees. True North.
I'm staying out.
You know, I mean, I was talking with Kelly O'Hara on her podcast, and she asked me, you know, who do I think is the team to beat? And I said, OL Reign. She gave me a hard time because, you know, with her connection with the Washington Spirit. But, you know, I feel like they right now, I feel like they've got riches right now. It's like they don't even know what to do with all the pieces. So that's a good thing. But, you know, I like that. I like what they do. I have to say that Portland is really dangerous. I'm a West Coast fan. I have to be honest.
So we're not taking you from the West Coast by any means, but OL Reign, they've got a lot of pieces coming in. Tobin Heath is joining. Who knows, maybe Brandy Chastain, she'll get back. We'll put a kid on her. We'll get her out there. Allie, what about you? You're so inundated with this league. What team would you want to lace up for?
Brand of football. I feel like I'm going to get Leon Basted when I continue to call matches, ever not picking the teams that I'm calling. But I would go with, I'm really torn. I would go with either San Diego Wave or I would go with Washington Spirit. And let me tell you why.
Of course.
Because of the front runners. Like, my dream as a 10 was the players up top that have savvy off the ball movement, that know how to get in behind, where, you know, you're able like to use your geometry to put a ball right in, and so they don't have to do anything but finish it. And I think when you look at like Trinity Rodman and of course Ashley Sanchez, the nastiness that she possesses, Ashley Hatch, those are players that would be so fun to unlock an opposition with. And same thing for San Diego. Alex Morgan's movement's been incredible. Jakobsen has been probably one of those players that I've admired for a very long time from afar, having called a lot of Sweden matches. And now watching her adjust to the pace of the NWSL has been pretty remarkable to see. And then you've got like Amira Ali on the sideline. You've got Turnbow, the Bronco. You know, these are players that, and I'm only speaking from an attacking side because I never played defense. I relied on B for that.
Yeah, she never played defense.
Yeah, never. I would have to play defense now. That is certainly a big staple.
That's true.
To the way these teams press and defend. But those would be the two that I would probably biasly want to be a part of.
I'm going to put in, this is more of a request than an actual question, and this is how we're going to close it out. But let's say everything comes to fruition. You manifest a thing. NWSL is coming to the Bay Area. Will there be room for a Cyber Rays retro night in the NWSL Bay Area team? Please tell me yes.
We'll have to bring the trophy. We'll have to have a celebration. There, absolutely. You have to remember where you came from. Otherwise, you suffer fool's folly. So let's not do that. That was a champion. You have to celebrate that.
Absolutely not. I was on San Diego Spirit. Absolutely not. We will not be celebrating that. We are moving forward.
Oh, you are so dumb.
Oh no.
And I love you.
We're closing out with this course. I thought that was one of the best logos in the league at that time. Was the Cyber Race. Oh, listen, my goodness. I love it. This was delightful. Thank you both so much for joining us, Ellie and Brandy, being here with us to chat all things NWSL Bay Area. Thank you to all our listeners for listening along to Attacking Third. Follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at Attacking Third. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your shows. We're also available as videos. Subscribe at youtube.com/Attacking Third. And we'll be back with more this week. For Sandra Herrera, Lisa Roman, Ellie Wagner, and Brandy Chastain, this was Attacking Third.
CBS Monday.
NCIS.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent Island got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.